This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. If you've ever paged through the Very Hungry Caterpillar or Goodnight Moon with a child on your lap or under the covies, don't you instinctively feel that reading to kids must be good for them? I mean, that it helps their developing brains? Well, you'd be right, because research shows that when parents and kids read together, kids have bigger vocabularies, better language skills, and may find it easier to start reading on their own. So no wonder the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends making a daily dose of reading doctor's orders. In a minute, we'll be asking you, parents, kids, and librarians, to call in and share your favorite science kids books. But first, what is it? What is it about kids' books that make them such good brain builders? My next guest analyzed the text of 100 kids' books to find out. Jessa Montag is talks about the science of story time. She's an assistant research psychologist, University of California, Riverside, and she's author of a study out last month in Psychological Science. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Your study was specific about the text of the kids' books. Why focused on the text?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as you mentioned, we've known for a while that there are a lot of benefits to reading to kids in terms of vocabulary and language development and later literacy. The real question is why? You know, it could be something a lot less interesting that more affluent parents are more likely to read to their kids. So these positive outcomes we see are really just a consequence of other benefits of coming from a more affluent family. Other thoughts are it has to do with this really great one-on-one time between parents and kids that's going on during this reading. But one thing that I think has been a little less studied is the actual contribution of the text itself. So really the guiding question for this work was, what might the text of the books be providing that everyday speech is not for these children?
Mm-hmm. And you compared kids' books to conversations parents had.
Yes, that's
with
right.
The kids.
Mm-hmm.
Explain a little bit for us.
Yeah, so we got the conversations from a collection of transcribed interactions between caregivers and children. These conversations were largely collected as a part of other studies, but they're now available for researchers like us who might want samples of either early childhood speech or, as we did here, early speech to children. We compared all that that sample of speech to a collection of book text that we compiled ourselves. As you mentioned, we got a list of 100 different picture books taken largely from lists of teacher and librarian recommended books, Amazon bestsellers, and circulation statistics from the local public library. And in doing this, we were able to have a nice sample of speech to kids and a nice sample of picture book text to compare to each other.
Mm-hmm. So how big was the difference between the kids' books and the regular speech? What did you find?
Yeah, so what we found was when we compared our text of transcribed books to an equally sized amount of speech to kids, we found about 70% more unique words in the books than in the speech. And I should qualify that a bit, that 70% isn't going to be a magic number or anything. That's tied to the sample size we use and various methodological choices we made. So really the takeaway point is that they were clearly, clearly and substantially more unique words in the text of the picture books than in a matched sample of the speech to kids.
Huh. Did you come out of the study with a new favorite kids book for yourself?
Bark George was a really cute one about a dog who won't bark and is instead meowing and mooing, and turns out the dog had swallowed all sorts of other animals, and that's why the dog is meowing and mooing. But then at the end of the book, it turns out the dog swallowed the vet and is saying hello. That was just pretty adorable.
Well, you know, that's the great thing about kids' books is that they let you think, they let the kids think outside of the box,
exactly.
Right? There's no penalty for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think a real benefit of books is that it introduces new topics and new words that are generally outside the scope of a child's day-to-day life. You know, a lot of speech to kids is a lot of, you know, aren't those carrots good? Put on your shoes, things like that. But books allow you to talk about more different things in more different contexts, even without actually being there.
Yeah, and you know, there are no right or wrong answers like there might be in school where they expect you to come up with something. You're free to think.
Yeah.
You know, come up with new ideas.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of, you know, really fun play with stories and with language.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice any trends in the kids' books you studied?
Yeah, you know, one thing that actually popped out at me quite a bit was something that other people have pointed out as well, that in a lot of the books, the role of women is often very stereotypical, feminine, and there's a really alarming lack of representation of any people of color. Yeah, you know, and all this was a little bit beyond the scope of what we were interested in studying, but given that we know that reading to children is associated with both income and race, it seems like getting a bit more diversity in the books would ultimately be a good thing for getting books into families.
Yeah. So where do you go from here? What else would you like to study next?
So one thing that we're really interested in is looking at sentence level differences between books and text. You know, we tend to not say passives very much in our speech, but we write them quite a bit. And so this is another perhaps important benefit that the text of books is giving to children that they may not be encountering in their day-to-day life.
So you would say then that the text of the book is very important when you're reading to kids.
Yeah.
It's not just the pictures that are the important parts.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's the text and the types of sentences, rarer sentences, more complex sentences, as well as, you know, rarer words that may not be, you know, something that you'd say if it weren't printed in the text.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jessica, thank you for taking time to talk with us today. Fascinating.
Yeah. Thanks so much. It was great to be here.
You're welcome. Jessica Montag is an assistant research psychologist at UC Riverside.